as the Lord may be pleased to help me, we would direct you prayerfully to the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, and reading verse 20. Chapter 3 of Revelation and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Oh, how we need that living faith to behold Jesus Christ through the lattice of the truth. Oh, and we repeat that word of Paul's, as you've often heard me repeat it, that I may know him. And why should you and I have such a request? If there were no life in your soul, you wouldn't desire it, would you? But you see, the Lord stands at the door. The door, dear friend, of your heart and mine. He stands at the door. He knocks. He knocks you and me with our afflictions, with our trials, with our sorrows, with our griefs. Solemnly reminds us of our transgressions. He makes us to see the folly of our ways, and he causes us to repent. I stand at the door and knock. As your trials and mine are so sanctified to you, whatever it might be, even a minute circumstance, can have the voice of the Lord in it, knocking at the door of your heart. And he says, if any man hear my voice, and open the door. Now, it's only grace, is it, can open the door of your heart and mine. And if that grace so opens your heart and mine, you'll be attentive to what the Lord's going to speak to you by this knocking, by this trial, by this affliction, by this thing that seems to weigh heavily upon your heart or upon my own. By these things men live. Or Hezekiah's trial is very prominent in the truth, isn't it? And in the exercise of the child of God, I stand at the door and knock. Or has the Lord then been knocking upon your heart? Have you been pricked in the conscience? Paul, you know, had been pricked in the conscience. It's hard, he said, for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard with a child of God to kick against these pricks. The messengers from Satan that buffet you, the trials of your daily lives, the insults and the troubles that you might find in your pathway, and you seem to find so little cooperation between others. Also, many things that affect us in our lives that the Lord's voice is in it. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. He opens your heart. He pours in that wounded heart that he's wounded. He wounds your heart and mine, causes you to feel guilty of your sinfulness, of some sinful deed, of some lust of the flesh, of some pride of life. The Lord's knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And so it'll be the plea from this soul that is pricked in the conscience to seek the Lord, that he would come in, that he would favour you to have the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that he would unstop your deaf ears, that the blessed Spirit would come and cause your heart to be opened to receive the blessings of the Lord that shall enrich your soul in weaning you and me from the world, delivering you from those lusts of the flesh, those things may be lawful, that perhaps take so much of your attention and draw you aside from the saving knowledge of Christ, because brings you in this place where this Laodicean church were, they were lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. Now this will be an exercise, I believe, to the child of God, that he might give us that grace. As he says here, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Because Laodicean church said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not. Thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me of gold. It's buying the truth with wrestling prayer. When Jesus stands at the door, and that door, dear friends, that door of mercy, and he stands at the door of your heart and pricks you in the conscience, softens your heart by dear degrees, makes your spirit meek. You seek that grace, you might hear his voice, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, in these signs and in these wonders that he is performing for you to bring you to his feet and to bring you to the Calvary's tree to look upon him whom you pierced. Lord, how we need the Spirit in our day, don't we, to unfold to us the mysteries of his work. Behold, look and see. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I stand at the door. You know, we shall be without excuse, won't we? When we come to the end of the journey and we've known nothing of these things. And why is that? Because the Lord will have seen fit to have caused your eyes to be holden, that they know not these things. Very solemn. And though you and I do not receive that we so long for, yet are there not those evidences? Are there not those things where you have felt the Lord speaking to you? And all you felt so troubled and you felt so cast down and burdened over the Lord's knocking at the door of your heart? And or you've sought that the Lord would open your heart and pour in this oil and this wine of the gospel to heal you, to restore unto you the joy of his salvation, to bless you with a token of his love. You know, the Lord must come, mustn't he, where you are, to stand at the door, and you be made conscious of it. My presence I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And we need the Lord to say that, don't we, to us, to confirm us in it. But he has promised that where two or three are gathered together in the midst, that there am I in the midst. All this favour then, when the Lord so warms our cold hearts, when we see Jesus through the lattice of the gospel, when we feel him to be the one thing needful to us, the one that can resolve all our difficulties and all our disputes. I'm not saying disputes here, but those of the world. The things that you and I encounter from time to time, or they sink your fathoms at times. You've no might against this great company, have you, that seem to come against you. But greater are those that are for you than against you, friends, if the Lord Jesus Christ is your Saviour and your friend, and he sticks closer than a brother. I stand at the door knock. Oh, what a mercy when you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, when he speaks to you through his word, when he comforts your troubled heart, when he whispers unto you, peace be still. And if the Lord giveth you and me peace, who then can make trouble? So those trying circumstances that you and I may continually pass through. Now we don't seem to stop, do we? Maybe the trial doesn't go away. Maybe it's continually with you. Maybe for many months. Maybe years. The Lord is still there. He's omnipresent. And he knocks. And if by the grace of God he is knocking at your heart and mine, then the time comes and when he will exercise you to open the door. You'll say, "Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it from the courts above, that I might have that blessed persuasion and assurance that I have been loved with an everlasting love." So he says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." Or don't you often feel this? Want the Lord Jesus to come right where you are, to decide the doubtful case of your soul. You know, the old devil is ever ready to try and undermine real religion. Ever try to undermine your little faith. And oh, he drives in that wedge of unbelief so powerfully, doesn't he? And so subtly. And you want the Lord to come into you and to sup with you. You want to feel that union and communion with the Lord. Lord, if thou art the mighty Saviour, if thou art Jesus, the Son of God, leave me not, neither forsake me. I seem to grope for the wall like the blind. I drift on through the wilderness world. The days come, the days go. The Lord's days come and the Lord's days go. The services of the house. And still I cannot find that I'm so looking for. And the devil still roars and laughs me to scorn and mocks me. And oh, he has so many agents. He's so many agents, doesn't he? Come the Monday morning, come the days of the week. And this devil is ever active, ever ready to undermine perhaps that you sought to lay hold on the Sabbath day or in the weeknight. Oh, what a wily, powerful foe he is. But still Jesus doesn't move. He's still the same. He's still the same yesterday, today, forever. He still stands at the door and knocks. And oh, you know, the mercy is that he does cause his people to hear his voice and open the door. And he sets before them, as he speaks to one of these other churches, didn't he? That he has set before them an open door and no man can shut it. "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." See, the Lord is there. He's omnipresent. He's without beginning and without ending. He is that high priest after the order of Melchizedek that we read of. So we would bless God, would we not, that he is the same. And he knows your frame and mine. Why? He must know your frame and mine, because he created you and he made you after his image. We know that Adam fell from that image of God. But all through mercy, there is that restoration, isn't it, of this righteousness through the imputed righteousness of Christ. Here then is your hope and mine, friends, that the Lord might in his sovereign mercy knock upon your door and exercise you to knock upon mercy's door. There might be this union, this communion from off the mercy seat. I will come into him, sup with him, You know that time when you sit down under his shadow with great delight. His fruit is sweet to your taste. You're drawn by that sweet, resistless grace to come to the mercy seat. You search the scriptures. The Bible perhaps becomes a very blessed book to you. You become absorbed in the language. You want that religion to be yours. Whereas at one time, perhaps, or on occasions, there doesn't seem any life in the book of life. Then suddenly, through mercy, you become so absorbed with the word as it's applied to yourself. It's your meat and your drink indeed. I will come into him and will sup with him. You're made to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ. He says, doesn't he? He that cometh to me will never thirst. He that believeth on me shall never hunger. And so this desire in your soul and mind to feed upon the truth, who's caused you to have that desire? He stood at the door. He's exercised your soul with that faith that he is God and that Jesus, the dear Son, is that one mediator between God and a poor sinner. And he exercises you to hear his voice by the teaching of the Spirit. For he's promised it, hasn't he, and said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. It becomes your meat and your drink indeed, does the word of truth. You feed upon it. Oh, it's the truth as it is in Jesus. You see, you can't satisfy yourself then on all these fictional things, can you? You want the truth. You want facts, don't you? And you want the Lord to apply those things that you can testify. Testify of what the Lord has done for yourself. You can't feel to love him, can you? But you have a desire to be loved of the Lord. And so if the Lord has so implanted that desire in your soul, is it not? Doesn't it raise a hope in your heart that if you have a real desire to love the Lord, is it not because he has loved you? He has stood at the door and knocked. Prick you in the conscience, exercise your soul with repentance, given you a desire often feeble and faint, that you might have this contact. Now, dear Mr. Frank Gosden used to speak much of must-have contact. That you have a feeling, not just a voice, and not just uttering words before the Lord, but to feel the blessed Spirit of the Lord upon you. Contact, union, communion. Your thoughts are drawn away heavenward. You read the word, you meditate upon it, and isn't there not a voice in it at times? You see, you're brought into trial. And so this rebuking and chastening of the Lord, is it not the voice of the Lord in it? I stand at the door. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Have you never had any love and rebuke, friends? Maybe through the ministry. I remember preaching once at Hanover, and a man came to me afterwards and said, I felt rebuked tonight. I didn't know, dear friends, I wasn't speaking at anybody. And you know, what a mercy if the Lord does, if there's a need be, rebuke us and reprove us. We make you, I believe, to truly weep when he rebukes you and chastens you. You see, there'll be chastening to make you and me a mourner. Sorrowful things to experience, hard things, bitter things, things that sink your fathoms at times, oppress you, cast you down, overwhelm you, drive you, as it were, far away. and into a very, very low place. You find yourself in a solitary place. You find no rest in the things of time since. We heard the other day of a person has just lost a relative. They're going to have a different sort of Christmas. They're going to go to one of these holiday camps. Plenty of noise and activity for Christmas. You might say, to drown their sorrows. Very solemn, isn't it? Nice people, kind people in the earth. And yet, you know, it's God stands at the door in the hand of death, doesn't he? It's appointed, it's the fulfilling of his word to all mankind. But you see, where there's no vision, the people perish. Or, you know, we ought to be blessing God, hadn't we, praising God, that we're not in that same sad state. Or we've known what mourning is over the loss of those in dear ones, haven't we? You each have, probably, most of you. But you see, you haven't gone, have you, to the ale house, to the pleasure house, to the holiday camp, to drown your sorrows, have you? Or to cover them with some noise? It's a noisy day, isn't it, with the devil's music? But you've been brought there, I believe, if it's sanctified, but to bless God, especially when there's been that good hope of the departed, of being with Christ, which is far better. Now the Lord, those that he loves, he rebukes and chastens. But it's to exercise them to be zealous. Zealous for the truth. To repent and believe and behold. I stand at the door knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. We see here the love of Christ, don't we? The compassion of Christ, who has promised that he will never leave nor forsake his dear people. Now, the Lord doesn't give you a fleshly zeal. It's a God-fearing zeal. You're made zealous of the truth. You seek that grace to be steadfast, to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord, he says? To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the work that he bids you and me work. Not the good works of the fleshly religionists who think they'll be saved by their good works. You see, this is the work, isn't it, that ye believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as he works in you, that faith. Faith which worketh by love. A faith, dear friends, without works is dead. That's the work, isn't it? He worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. In seeking that grace to endure. Even the chastening hand of God. To strengthen you with all might in the inner man. All that might in the inner man, that living faith, that fear of the Lord that Nehemiah knew of, had to look back and say, so do not I for the fear of the Lord, which becomes an unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. I stand at the door. All your chastenings then, these chastenings therefore prize the privilege of a saint. Their hearts are hard who this despise, and theirs too weak who faint. Lord, help me then to wait upon thee, and all as thou dost knock the door, Lord, do open the door. Put thy finger through the hole of the door, and draw near to me, and comfort me, and confirm me, and assure me of the reality of my religion, little though it may be. A little faith, a little hope, and a little love. I will come into him. You know, the Lord has promised to come to those that hear his voice. And if you've heard his voice, he doesn't just stop there, does he? I will come into him. And you come where you are, and we are sat with you, and he with me. There's a union, there's a communion, there's a blessing of the Lord to enrich yourself, and you'll have that closer walk with him. Oh, for a closer walk with God, calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Now this vision, dear friends, is by the eye of faith. You look to him, he warms your cold hearts, and he makes you to feel, although you may be sufficiently supplied with your goods and have need of nothing, the cupboard's not bare, your needs are supplied, you may have hardship. But you know, we're not poverty stricken, are we? Like dear old John Warburton, came home and a stale crust, 3 days old, and he blessed God as he ate it. He felt the nearness of the Lord, thanksgiving up unto his God for such a great blessing. Well, do these material things choke the word in our day? Or may we not be left to be over-surfeited with time things, needful as they are? But knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? You see, it's vital, isn't it, for the Lord to knock at your door and mine. Any little mishap in the day is sanctified to you. This is the Lord's doing. He knows the way I take. Has he caused it to come for a purpose? You know, I remember once going, I don't want to keep bringing self in tonight, but as the mind is led, going to Skane's Hill with one of our new cars and hit something in the road and a shortage of time, and bang, the tire went. And no one came to help. But you know, I thought about that. Was it the hand of God? Was there a purpose in it? Was it to deliver me from pride? Was it to make me more dependent upon him? You know, we take so much for granted. We get in the car, turn the key, drive off, and think we're going to get there without any mishap. Mercy we do in many miles that you do and we do. Or may we not be left to say like this church, where I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But for the Lord to so exercise our minds, as I don't doubt he does yours, to realize that the Lord alone can grant you to make you feel how poor and blind and naked you are of the knowledge of himself. You know, Job, you know, in all his trials, all his afflictions, he had to say of his friends, "Miserable comforters are ye all." Oh, but when the Lord so brings you here, I stand at the door and knock. What about his commandments then? What about his voice in instruction and teaching? As you have your ear bore to the doorpost, you want a word of instruction. You're waiting upon the Lord that he might be merciful to you. To come into you, come into your heart, sup with you, give you a promise, tell you he's pardoned your sins and your iniquities have been blotted out and he's going to remember them no more forever. You can't buy it, can you, with gold and silver? But you know, if the Lord has so bought you with a price, then he will stand at the door, and that precious blood of Christ will be the object of your soul. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, says Job. Oh, that I knew. Why was that? Because he had been born again. And if you've been born again, friends, and I don't mean like these pop stars and film stars that say they've been born again Christians, they wouldn't be doing the things that they were if they had been. But you see, you've been brought here as a born again sinner. You've been created anew in Christ. Oh, that I knew. You haven't got further than that. Hold fast to that. Plead the promise, the fulfilling of the love of Christ in your heart. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. You'd come to his seat, wouldn't you? And it's often with us in prayer, isn't it? Oh, that the Lord would come where I am. Warm my cold heart. Don't leave me to be over-surfeited with these goods, with these possessions, which we would bless God for the gift of them and the maintenance of our standards of life. But oh, we want him. We want him to be the one thing needful. Needful. We sing it on Sunday. Or may it be the exercise of yourself. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Oh, this blessed Saviour that comes into our low estate. He comes where you are. He blesses you with a touch. He speaks the words to your very soul. And what a mercy that the Lord does so reign in our hearts. And he's able to do far more exceeding abundantly above all that you and I can ask or think. And it is this mercy, this door of mercy that he has opened all day. And so he brings you there. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. The Lord then draws you by that sweet, resistless grace. He enforces you and me to come to the throne of divine grace. He blesses you with his presence. And as we come here, one's thought goes to a hymn that we have in our book. You see, a form of words, though e'er so sound, can never save a soul. The Holy Ghost must give the wound and make the wounded whole. Though God's election is a truth, small comfort there I see, till I am told by God's own mouth that he has chosen me. And so as the Lord knocks on your heart, you'll be waiting upon him for that blessed knowledge that he's chosen you. Or in other words, to say to you that he has paid the price for your sins. He has pardoned your sins. He has blotted as a thick cloud your transgressions. And as a cloud your sins. And this is what real religion is, isn't it? Is to be shown you're a sinner by the Holy Ghost. Made tender in the fear of God. As the Lord so knocks at the door of your heart, and his voice is as the sound of many waters, we're told. And when the Spirit comes, in whatever way it may come, and reveals to you and me in some trial, this is the voice of the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. As he causes you to feel the rebukes and chastenings of his almighty hand. But it's the workings of grace, isn't it? His everlasting love and favour towards his dear people are such that he doesn't change his mind. And as he exercises your soul with that broken heart and contrition of spirit, he breaks it. And then this is what you will desire. Lord, do come. do come and bless my soul with some sweet assurance that I am thine. Oh, what a mercy this is, when the Lord so favours you and me with that union, with the warming of your cold heart, no longer in the natural mind, is it? It's the spiritual mind, which is so exercised by the Spirit that you consider him. And he shows you what he has done. And you know you felt lost before. You felt to be a lost sinner. You feel sometimes to have lost your way now. And you wonder sometimes, as I said earlier, this wretched enemy comes in like a flood and says, where is now your God? Where is all your trust in him? Where is all the promises? Where is all the tokens? Where is all the hope? Where is all the words that you thought you rested upon? The Lord lifts up a standard against him, because he says, you know, I stand at the door and knock. And oh, you have to plead with the Lord to drive away this devil, don't you, and his agents. And oh, you're brought at times in such a pitiful state of mind, don't you? And your heart well nigh breaks. And you feel sometimes you can't go on any longer unless the Lord appear. And he does. Oh, hasn't he done for some of you these blessings? When he has stood at the door, when everything seems to be on top of you, and you come to the end of all things. And yet, is it not the voice of the Lord that comes to rescue you from all those fears and blesses you to come into you? And we'll sup with him and he with me. You see, we see it here. I will come into him and we'll sup with him and he with me. He comes where you are. He blesses you with grace, and he gives you an ear to hear what his Spirit is saying unto your soul. A voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or to the left. And as you look to him, so you pray for clearer views of him, grace that you might overcome this body of death through the merits of Jesus. It's Christ and him crucified. We speak much of Christ and him crucified, speak much of his precious blood. But it's the Spirit alone can enlighten and enliven your souls and give you faith to believe. You see, the just shall live by faith. We should not be justified by works. No man is ever justified by works, but the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know, it's those that are out of the covenant will draw back. Solemn thing to have a name to live and be dead. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them that draw back to perdition, but to them that believe through the saving of the soul. You see, the Lord Jesus, he binds up the broken heart. He lifts the poor beggar out of the dunghill and sets him among princes. Lord, it's his promise, hasn't he, that he will not leave nor forsake his people, though you cannot feel the warmth that you once felt or you trusted you would feel. And some even speak of the warmth in their soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you can't believe it yourself until he tells you with his own mouth that he has chosen you. Well, this is an exercise, I believe, of a newborn soul. You desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby, and as you advance in years, you want stronger meat. You want his word to be your meat and your drink indeed. In other words, to apply some precious word to my soul and open my eyes, the eyes of my understanding, that I might understand the meaning of it. This standing at the door knocking, the omnipresence of Christ, who has promised never to leave or forsake his people, that we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man should do unto me. We're so ready to fear man, aren't we? When we lose sight of the faith of God and faith in Jesus Christ. But it's repentance toward God. And if the Lord has so granted you repentance and godly sorrow for sin, on occasions you felt brokenhearted, you felt to be at the ends of the earth, because of these trials seem to have brought you so low. But the Lord is able to strengthen you, support you, and sustain you as he upholds you with the right hand of his righteousness. Now I stand at the door and knock. Is there anything in our lives at present where it's the voice of the Lord? They're being disobedient, taking the wrong step, acting in a wrong way. Oh, I say these things as they come to mind, dear friends, without wielding the sword. The Lord knows that, and so should you do. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Oh, the hearing of his voice. Lord, let me hear thy voice, for thy voice is comely. Oh, the voice of the good shepherd of the sheep, his voice is comely. Let me hear thy voice. Let me be favoured, Lord, to know something of the warmth of my cold heart with the love of Christ, that I might truly feel swallowed up for a little season in some exceeding great and precious promise. Let me hear thy voice, Lord. Let me be favoured to have grace to be obedient to that voice, and to be able to speak, Lord, by experience of that felt union and communion with thee. To hear by thy blessed Spirit what thou art saying unto me, that I might be one of those living souls that shall at last be more than a conqueror through thee, that has loved me and washed me from my sins in thine own precious blood. Lord, help me to believe and to trust thee for thy faithfulness and to walk worthily of thee. And oh, do keep my faith that I might be preserved unto thy heavenly kingdom. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Or when the Lord favours you to sit down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit is sweet to your taste. May the Lord fulfil these few desires in our feeble remarks and get unto himself all glory due unto his holy name. Amen.
Let us conclude in singing hymn 894 to tune Pastor 205. The Saviour empties whom he fills, and quickens whom he slays. Our legal hope he kindly kills, to teach us gospel praise. He wraps in frowns as well as smiles, some tokens of his love. And if he wounds or if he heals, in both his grace we prove. 894.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.